The reading this morning is from John chapter 21, verses 1 to 19. After this, Jesus appeared once more to his disciples at Lake Tiberias. This is how it happened. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael, the one from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples of Jesus were all together. Simon Peter said to the others, "I'm going fishing." "We'll come with you," they told him. But they went out in a boat, but all that night they did not catch a thing. As the sun was rising, Jesus stood at the water's edge, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then he asked them, "Young men, haven't you caught anything?" "Not a thing," they answered. He said to them, "Throw your net out to the right side of the boat and you will catch some." So they threw the net out, couldn't pull it back in because they had caught so many fish. The disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Peter heard that it was the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, who had taken his clothes off and jumped into the water. The other disciples came to shore in the boat, pulling the net full of fish. They're not very far from land, about 100 yards away. And they stepped ashore. They saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and some bread. Then Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net ashore full of big fish. Even though there were so many, still the net didn't tear. Jesus said to them, "Come and eat." None of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. So Jesus went over, took the bread, gave it to them. He did the same with the fish. This then was the third time Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from death. After they had eaten, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than the others do?" "Yes, Lord," he answered. "You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Take care of my lambs." A second time Jesus said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," he answered. "You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Take care of my sheep." A third time Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter became sad because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" And so he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Take care of my sheep. I am telling you the truth. When you were young, you used to get ready and go anywhere you wanted to. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will tie you up and take you where you don't want to go." In saying this, Jesus was indicating the way in which Peter would die and bring glory to God. Then, pardon me, Jesus said to him, "Follow me." Praise be to God.
So I just want to share a few thoughts about this passage from John, and then some words of introduction to, which will lead into the words of introduction for the baptism. So here we have, and this will be the last account of the appearances of the risen Jesus that we'll have for this Easter season. Next week we'll look at some other things. So this is the last one that we'll look at. And for any of us that have a sense that I am so far, because of what I've done, I'm so far from God that there's no way back, this is a passage for you. Okay. The disciples had decided for whatever reason to go fishing. They knew fishing. They were very familiar with fishing. And they go back to doing something very familiar. Early on the morning, they see a figure on the shore and I suspect can't quite make it out. But this voice says something very familiar to them. Very familiar. Back in Luke chapter 5, with the calling of those first disciples, Jesus says, cast your net into the deeper water and you will find fish. This voice from the shore in John chapter 1 says something very, very similar. Cast your net on the right side. John recognises it's Jesus. Peter is so excited about this that he just takes off and heads to the shore. As I mentioned last week, Jesus appears to his disciples and followers in various ways that they recognise him. And it's almost a bit like Mary here when Jesus calls Mary's name at the tomb. He says to them something that they've heard before. You haven't caught anything, have you? Throw your net over this way. They've heard that from 3 years ago. They know this voice. They know it is the risen Lord. And so they gather around a fire of burning coals, a campfire. Now in John's Gospel, where was the last time that we had mention of someone gathering around a little campfire? Sorry? Okay. The night of Jesus' trial. He's arrested and there's a few people gathered around a campfire and Peter joins them. He denies knowing Jesus three times around that campfire. The next time in John's Gospel we hear of a campfire is on the beach of this lake and this extraordinary conversation happens with Peter. As I said, if for any that think we are so far from God because of what we've done that there's no way back, this is your story. Jesus says to Peter, "Do you love me more than these?" Three times he asks him. In this encounter between Jesus and Peter, who has denied his Lord three times, Jesus has already appeared to him before, but here is this one-on-one conversation that takes place. There is forgiveness, there is restoration, there is a new beginning. There is a call, a renewed call to discipleship. There is forgiveness. There is restoration. There is a new beginning for Simon. There is a new beginning here for Simon Peter. A new beginning and a call to follow. The last two words that Marlene read, Jesus says to Peter, "Follow me." He'd said those words to Peter 3 years earlier, and he says them again to him now. Come and follow me. There is a new beginning. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I just want to quote a few verses and then lead into the baptism. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where Paul talks about this. He says, if anyone, and this is from the Message translation, okay, the Message translation, anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start, is created new. The old life is gone, a new life emerges. Look at it, all this comes from the God who settled the relationship between us and him and then called each other. God put the world square with himself through the Messiah, giving the world a fresh start by offering forgiveness of sins. How, you ask? In Jesus. God put the wrong on him who never did anything wrong so we could be put right with God. There is a new beginning. And Peter finds this new beginning. Jesus says, come and follow me. I will be baptized this morning. For any Sunday that we gather, there's opportunity for a new beginning, and certainly in baptism, there's a new beginning. I hope, folks, that you get a glimpse into the significance of what happens here this morning, of what's taking place. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 2 says this, but God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it's the gift of God. I hope today you get a glimpse of the significance of what's about to happen. To go from one understanding of the world, and especially of how God interacts with the world, of how God calls us, of what God requires of us, and most beautifully of all, that God's grace is evident to us. It's a wonderful thing to recognize that. Look, no matter where we're from or what worldview or religious understanding, whether that be Islam, Buddhist, Hindu, or whatever, it is indeed, and indeed for some of us within the Christian faith, we get caught up in this a bit as well, where we believe that we have to do certain things before God will be pleased with me, before God will have an interest in me, before God will consider me, before God will accept me. I have to do this, this, and this. The Christian faith says the exact opposite of that. And this is the beautiful thing about Christian faith. There is a recognition of God's grace to us in Jesus, in what God has done for us. It is by grace that we are saved. And that's the beautiful thing about baptism. Baptism speaks that to us. We actually see it happen. And there's some words that I will say right before their baptism. Comes from, I think it's the French Reformed Church, that encapsulates that so wonderfully, and I really encourage you to listen for that when we get to that part. Now, there is God's call to us to live in a certain way as followers of Jesus, and that's really important, that God's call is to live a certain way, to live as followers of Jesus, and this means certain things for us. But the way that we live is in response to God's grace to us, not the other way around. We live this way through the grace, mercy, and love of God found in Jesus, in his death and resurrection that accepts us, that accepts even the Peters who've denied their Lord, and there is forgiveness and restoration. We don't have to earn that from God. We don't have to earn God's forgiveness or God's mercy. God's mercy, and we're going to see that this morning. And I hope you glimpse it. I really do. And just a word directly to say, it has been, it's been an absolute privilege to meet with you and to share with you. And that will continue, I know that. This is a beginning more than an end in many ways. You know, we all need that. We all need to continue to learn what it is to follow Jesus, to understand this way of Jesus. We all need to continue to do that, to grow in our faith and understanding and discipleship. And that will continue for both of you as it will continue for all of us. We've all been on a journey of learning and discovery and have grown in insights about your homeland, insights about what it is to share our humanity in a world that is often complex and bewildering and perplexing. I know that there are challenges that you and your family continue to face, but I have been so touched by your willingness to share your story, to share your lives, not just with me, but with others here. And it is an absolute privilege. And what a blessing, what a blessing. We have been so blessed. Romans 8 verse 1 says this, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death." Rosemary C, if you'd like to come forward and then to bring with you, that would be great.